access number 30399, Mr. Bill Parr, Reel 2. Now, we were talking about your time in Tottenham Hale, you know, as a child during the war years. Just before we come to your first job, a couple more questions about the war. Did you follow the progress of the war? I mean, either at school or at home or through, you know, entertainment, you know?
Not really. School was the furthest from your mind. For, I think there was 2 or 3 weeks where we never attended school at all. That was... that must have been Page Green coming up from the juniors to the seniors. We never attended school at all for weeks, so it was, and we never knew much about the, being that I suppose it was our age, like, you know.
So you didn't have one of these maps and draw lines?
Oh no, no. I don't think we was concerned. It was more like an adventure for us, really.
Were you confident of winning, or did you just not know?
Just didn't. We used to hear on the radio when you had the old batteries and what they used to call the accumulator. Used to have them charged up around the shop. And that was the old valve radios, Cossers and that, you know.
But it wasn't your thing following the war?
No.
Now, what about the end of the war? You'd still be at school then, I presume.
Oh, yeah.
Do you remember either VE Day, VJ Day, any street
parties? Oh, street parties, yeah.
What were the street parties like? Because they've changed now, everything's changed. What were the street parties
like? Well, our street parties was a sit-down tea, having things that we'd never had during the war. Cream cakes and all this business, you know. Yeah. That was all it was, really. Just
no
us.
No piano or anything?
Oh, yeah. Pianos, I mean, it went on during the night, which was mainly for the adults then, but during the day, when the tables were laid out the full length of the street, there was a tablecloth, and we had silly hats on, the kids, and also the parents as well, but they waited on us hand and foot, you know, the parents, and then their part came later on. I was always a piano going. Oh yeah, somebody always had an upright, well, everyone did have an old upright piano there. That's good time.
Now, you left school at 14, so yeah. What, 1947?
47, yeah.
And what job you're going to do. You're going to go in this. Tell us what you did.
Exactly, I knew what I was going to do. I was a stable lad for...
Is it coal yard?
I had it just now. Nah.
Don't worry, it'll come back to you.
In fact, the stable is still there today.
Was it a coal yard?
At Leebridge. No. It was just a stable. I can't think of the name now. And it's marvellous, isn't it?
It's all right. Tell us what you do. It'll probably come to you when you're not thinking. What were your duties as a stable boy then? I mean, not duties. What was your job?
The guy I worked for, it was a big firm, it was. He had a big stables down at Leebridge. Hackney, just off of Hackney, just off of Leebridge Road. And he used to supply the horses for the road, for the barges that worked up and down the Lee, and also for the docks. Heavy horses. They weren't shires. They was crossbred shires. And my job was, I was to go in, muck the horses out, give them a clean, not give them a clean bed, because the horses would go. When they was gone, I used to muck them out, scrub out all the cobbles. The flooring was cobbles, they was called sets at the time. The old gully was here. Horses never laid down, they was tied up all the time with a ring and a leather halter on. They knew exactly where they was going and what they was doing. But my job was, after cleaning, mucking out, Herbie Clark, now, going back to the one who died, his name was Bowser, we called him Bowser. He had the biggest horse in the stable, and he could walk underneath it without ducking. And his bowed legs, but he was he was a stable man. He was a stable boss. Now, he knew horses inside out. I'm just trying to think of the name of who I work for. I just can't. And it
doesn't matter.
Yeah. And after I'd done that, we'd have a cup of tea. You'd never believe it. This day and age, the health and safety would just ring their head. You'd never wash your hands anyway, like. And you'd have a cheesecake, great, lovely cheesecake. And you'd have this old cup of tea in it. And there'd be a pot with the lid. You used to turn it upside down, and that was your cup. It was a white enamel, but inside it was brown, stained. But the tea was nice. So we'd have that. And then he would give me a chaff sack. If anyone has seen a chaff sack, it's the most biggest sack you could ever see. Bigger than a flour sack, what they carry flour. This was a chaff sack. But it was a looser, it wasn't woven so close as the flour. It was loose woven, chaff. Where the stables were situated, I was looking out onto Leabridge Marshes. And I used to go out there, and he used to say to me, Bowser used to say, Bill, dandelions. And I used to go across these marshes, filling this sack up with dandelion leaves. That was the finest medicine for a horse. To keep a horse in fitness was medicine. And he never, I don't think once I've seen a vet visit a horse there, because Bowser Clark, he was a great guy with horses. But and then that was my first job until I went out on the road. Couldn't wait to drive it. I could drive a horse anyway and ride them, but I couldn't wait to drive one, you know, big proper. I was 10 foot tall. If he said to me, Bill, I want you to go to so and so depot, pick up some hay and straw or something like that. Oh, yeah, I'd be up all night thinking about it. But woe betide if you fetch that horse in with a little bit of sweat on him. Oh, no. And another thing and all, during the summer months, if he knew that you'd let one of his horses drink out of these fountains alongside the road, the Metropolitan horse troughs, you know. You might see them now filled up with flowers and all that, you know. If he got word that you let your horse drink to one of them, your cards or whatever it was then was waiting for you when you come back with a horse.
Now, why? What
now, all the old totters years ago, they didn't give much toss about their horses, the state of their horses anyway. And they'd let them drink there, you know, and all that. That was the place what bred disease. That spread disease, that did. And that's why he would never have one of his horses drinking out of them fountains.
So what sort of a cart horse? You had just one horse, and what sort of a cart was it when you were driving?
Oh, it was a sided cart with sides and a tailboard. And a cross between a shire. Big heavy horse, lovely though, because they could get more work out of a horse with a bit of cold blood in it than they could with pure bloods.
And so you were doing the sort of work that they use vans for now, I suppose. I mean, just carting stuff about.
Yeah, yeah.
And you really enjoyed it.
Oh, love. You was your own governor. You was your own governor. Yeah. Yeah, and then they.
So you're doing that, what, 47 to...?
47. I've done that up to 49. And then me sister got married then, Ellen. And she married Dougie. He'd come out, though. He'd been in the war. He was what you called a clicker. He worked in the leather trade. Boot and shoes. Now, the clicker used to cut the shoes, the uppers, by hand,
the
out of a skin. He used to, He used to put a pattern on, and he used to cut the uppers, the outside, round this, with a clicking knife. It's a knife like that. And as you went like that, it used to go click. Well, he used to work for A&H Meltzers down Pretoria Road, White Hart Lane. And he said to me, I think, Mother, I wasn't earning no money. You don't earn no money with horses, like, so. She convinced me that I would go with Dougie as an apprentice, not to him, but to many others down H.A. Meltzers, as a fitting cutter. Now, a fitting cutter used to do exactly the same as a clicker, but instead of cutting outsides, he used to cut the linings from the skins itself. And he used to do it on a board, and at that time there was rows of you, like, you know, and we had an old Leicester man called Iliff, I remember him. He used to walk up and down the rows behind you in a white smock. And he used to, if you were doing, you used to have to get the stretch from heel to toe tight. And that's the way you used to have to put your pattern on the skins to cut it out. And you used to have to get so many out of one skin, there was no messing around, you know. Yeah. And I've done that till I went in the army.
Did you enjoy that?
I did really, but not really. I enjoyed the money part because you were piecework. The more you'd done, the more you earned, you know.
Was it a proper apprenticeship, or did they just...
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you went on to become a clicker. Like, from there, you went on to become a clicker, like, you know, which you cut the outsides of shoes.
So, how long were you doing that for? 49 to... When did you go in the army?
Just till I went in the army, 51.
Now, tell us a bit about outside of work. What about your sporting activities?
Football.
Tell us about that.
Yeah.
Football. Who did you play for? What did you play as?
I was a left back, going from school, playing for Tottenham Boys. I played for County as I got older, and then I played for the Schools Association.
So you were good?
Well, yeah, not, I suppose. Yeah.
Not professional, but
no.
Good.
I could have played for, signed for, Millwall at the time. I think their manager then, Joey Ockenbeck. Joey Ockenbeck was his name, and he wanted me to sign form for Millwall, but I never did.
Why not?
I never did. No, I wasn't all that committed. I wasn't all that committed to being tied down, you know, to football regime. No regrets though.
Now, what about hobbies or recreations, you know, while after the war, before you go in the army, what, you're 15, 16, 17, 18, you know, what would you do about town? I mean, what was there to do?
Loads. Tottenham Municipal Baths. Not so much in the summertime, because we was working, like, you know. But in the winter time, they had two classes of swimming. First class was the big pool, second class was a smaller pool. Winter time, the smaller pool was kept open, but the big pool, they boarded it over. Thursday nights, lovely boxing. There was one lad from Tottenham, Billy Wadham. Great boxer. Amateurs and then professionals. But that was it. Thursday nights at the Muni was boxing night.
Did you box?
No.
So you're just watching?
Just what? Lovely. We used to go there boxing. Still do. Go to York Hall. Lovely evening boxing. And Saturday night was dance night.
Great.
Jack the lads. Because at the time, you used to go to work just to buy your clothes, really. And get made up, you know.
So what were the dance halls like? Because that's all gone.
The one dance hall, I think everyone, there must have been hundreds of people met their wives at the Royal Tottenham, really. The Royal, that was it, the Royal.
Now tell me about the Royal, what was it like?
Great.
You won't be able to see it if you're going to...
Oh, no, I can't walk now. There's a photo of it out there.
They won't be able to see it.
On the hall. No, that's all right.
We'll look later. Give us a picture.
It was in the High Road. You imagine High Road, Tottenham. One side is the police station. Here is the Royal. Half round. You walk up marble steps through the pillars, and you come into another world, you know. Nice big dance hall, great. Johnny Howard played there. He was the most resident there, Johnny Howard, I think there was.
There's this big band stuff.
Big band.
This not
is
jazz.
Oh, no, this is big band stuff. This is real dancing, like from 7 days a week, like, you know.
So what would Johnny Howard band be like?
Big band. I've got a CD of him down there somewhere. Something like a Glenn Miller style, like, you know, great. And as I said, I met my wife there.
You'd be all dressed up then. What was the style at the time?
Suits. You went suited and booted. The one place we used to buy our suits from, and it was so distinct, the jacket was way he cut them. Off the shoulder, sloping shoulders, and a straight back. That was the jacket. That was F.H. Woods, Kingsland Road. And the other one, the other good tailor, was Myers at Shoreditch. I think it was in Old Street, just round from Shoreditch to Myers.
So you'd be all in your suit. Now, I mean, what was it like when you got in there? Would the lads be at one side and the women at the other side, girls at the other side? Or what?
Well, at the Royal, this is... at the Royal, you'd walk in. Our lads was on the right-hand side. On the right-hand side there. You didn't have... You had tables and chairs, obviously, but some of the lads used to stand up against the wall, and the band was facing... Revolving band as well. Revolving stage there. And you had some of the others who weren't resident in Tottenham on the left hand side, and that's where the trouble started. Yeah. And they didn't have a bar, they had a tea bar further over.
Oh, so it was a teetotal place. Well, not teetotal, but I mean, you couldn't get a drink.
Oh, no, you couldn't get. The place we used to get, I think, was the Eagle.
I will come back. Yeah. So, I mean, what did you ask them? Did you ask the girls to dance, or you just, or was it a card?
Oh, yeah.
How did it work?
You used to ask them, strange girls and all that. You used to ask them to dance, and if you got a blank, all right. You didn't ask them again. You'd probably see her dancing with a mate or something.
Did you didn't
worry her.
I mean, did you know how to dance? I mean, have you learned?
Yeah.
Did you take lessons? Or just pick it up?
No, we just picked it up like quick step. The only trouble I had was with the foxtrot, and I used to blank that out. Waltz, quick step, lovely, and jive as well. That was great.
That was coming in, was it?
That was good. Yeah, the old that was the remnants of the Americans. They introduced that over here, didn't they? The jive. But when I see it today, when they do these exhibitions, it's not jive as we knew it.
Now, was there any trouble with people who weren't local? You mentioned...
Oh, all the time.
What sort of trouble?
All the time. There was fisticuffs all the time there. Yeah.
Over girls? Or just people not being local?
Well, people not being local, I suppose, but over girls mainly, like, you know. I mean, they'd had a... I'll tell you what, for instance, there was a competition night there. I think it was a Thursday night, competition night. And there was one girl there, she was so... Oh, she was murder, like, she really was. And somebody said to one of our little mobs, fuck's sake, get off, like, you know, give it a blow. And a bloke must have been sick. He heard him. And he's given this geezer such a right hander. And it all kicked off then, like, you know. It was great.
Were you involved much?
Oh, yeah.
You didn't mind a scrap then?
No, well...
It wasn't nasty stuff, was it?
No, you never see one of that. That was no good. It was, if you couldn't stand up and have a straightener, like, you wasn't there. But I'm standing up against the wall. Just stand there, and there's this fight going on. Lovely.
Great.
Me, Georgie.
You're just watching.
There's about half a dozen of us just watching, all suited up. Lovely. Go on, my son. There we go, like, you know. And this geezer come banging into me. Right. And I've hit him, and he's gone away, isn't he, like, you know. And all of a sudden, this girl, at the time they had these patent handbags with big brass butterfly clips on the top. It must have been her bloke, because she's hit me such a clump. You can can you see that scar along here?
It's a bit of a scar, yeah.
That was what she'd done with the brass butterfly handbag. Yeah. Oh, dear. That's all good fun, though.
So there were good places to go. You had a great time. Yeah. What about the pubs then? You went to the Victoria?
No, the Eagle.
Oh, the Eagle.
Which was opposite the Royal, and it was next to the police station. Right. And used to get a pass out from the dance hall at 9 o'clock. Used to get a pass out and go and have a drink over the Eagle.
Now, you were underage before you were called up.
Come back in again.
Did that matter much? When did you start drinking?
Not really. I didn't. I wasn't a drinker anyway. No, I was never a beer drinker.
So
Just go over for a blow, that's all, yeah. Yeah.
What were the pubs like in those days?
Oh, that was lovely. I'm going back now after I come out of the army.
Ah, right. But you didn't go much before the army.
Oh,
No. I think we'll skip that.
No,
then.
We weren't interested
in the dance hall then.
Yeah, that's all it was, yeah.
Mm. What about cinema? That was meant to be the other great thing.
Well, it was, yeah. I mean, Mondays especially. Everyone used to forego their tea when they come out of work and go and line up.
So you were saying about the cinema?
Yeah, as I said, Mondays used to forego that and just go and line up, because you never get in anyway. Like, you know, I think it was 1 and 6, 1 and 9, 2 and 6 was the dear one, half a crown, which was upstairs and all that, you know, but... The palace was next to the Royal. I'll show you the photo when we've finished out there.
So there were lots of cinemas.
2 minutes walk. Florida, the palace, Bruce Grove. Yeah, you had a choice. But there was one on the corner of Seven Sisters Road, South Tottenham, and it was called the Corner Picture House. It was a proper bug hole. Really, it was one of those with wooden seats. I mean, we used to go there as lads, about 10 of us, and we used to stand up one after the other, and the seats used to go bang 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 bang, and the usherette used to come down. And it was 1 and 9 pence with the dearest seat upstairs, and you sat in what you called a box. And you was overlooking the projection hole where the film come from. And what we used to do now and again, you used to get a carrot or something like that, bore an hole in it and put a bit of string there, just hang it down in front of the projection hole, and it used to come out a carrot on the screen. As kids, like, you know, mad.
Well, what were the popular films that you... I don't mean names to it, but which types of films were you...
Comedy was Abbott and Lucastella. Later on was Danny Kaye. I don't know if you ever heard of Danny Kaye. Yeah, but that was the type. And of it, the westerns were Roy Rogers, and Trigger was his horse.
What about war films? Because there were a lot of them in the... Were they not your thing?
Well, you still see it today. Sands of Iwo Jima. It was mainly American stuff that used to have over here. Didn't see many war films.
Any other? Were you a member of any boys' organisation? You know, like cadets or Boy Scouts, Boys Brigade, anything?
No.
So you were always down the stables, weren't you?
Always down the horses. Yeah. Yeah. I didn't have much time for that.
So you knew you were going to be called up at 18.
Oh yeah.
Did you get deferred because of your apprenticeship? Or
No. I wanted to go. And I was told what to go in by another uncle. Alexander Angus Mackay. He lived in Chipinonga, passed away years ago. And he had sons, was Gordon, Bruce, Bernard, and they'd all never wore the kilt. And I was over there, I went over to see him. He was a lovely old boy, he was. In fact, what he'd done, he was the one who rubbed the steps, the marble steps of the Royal. That was his trade. Anyway, the last time I went to see him before I went in the army, he said, "You must wear the kilt, Bill." He said, "None of them has ever put the kilt on," he said. "It's wasteful." I said, "Well, what regiment?" He said, "The Queen's Own Cameron Highlanders." "Very good." And that's what I went in. That was my parent regiment. Yeah, up there, look.
Now, what was the sort of process of being called? You know, I'm thinking about the letters, the medical.
Yes, well, the letter came down. You've been somewhere for a medical.
Yes.
And I think nearly everyone who lived in London went to Wanstead to have their medical. It was a rather like a Nissen hut, I think it was, that's all. And you had your medical there, and then you waited for your call-up papers. Where to report, and I was A1.
No problem. Do you remember when you were called, or what was the month?
Yes, the day, the hour. Oh no, not then, but when I actually left here to go, I was told to report to Fort George, Inverness, on April the 19th. 1951. And me brother Jim, he was home on leave. He'd come out there. He was Fleet Air Arm, but he'd got his discharge. He was out then. He took me to Euston. Mother was crying. She went, "I don't want you there, Mother." I said, "You know, that's it." Because me being the youngest and acting the baby. I remember. It was a beautiful sunny day here, April. You can check this with the weatherman, whatever. But April the 19th, 1951, beautiful summer's day, it really was. And at that time, I caught the 7:30 from Euston, the old steam train, straight to Inverness that used to go. And he took me there, down to Euston. I had a little case, didn't I? No tears or nothing, but he said that he was like the father to me, like being the elder brother, Jim. And behave yourself, Bill, we went. I went, "Yeah, all right, Jim." Away we went, ta-da, and that was it.
Now, had you done much travelling?
No.
Because that's a long, in those days, it was a long way, wasn't it?
Yeah, you never done. That is why the army to me was an adventure, really. Going up to to Scotland. What's this? Lovely. Great. Then, I think we got to Perth, and we took on another engine to take us up through the the mountain passes. And I remember that it was yesterday. It was the old corridor trains then. And I've looked out. It's snow. I thought, what have I done? And there's a big island cattle looking at me. There's the old train chugging up. What have I done? It's sunny. Anyway, as we get into Inverness, I never knew this, but as we get into Inverness, the conductor comes along, you know, it's the sleepy case. He said, "Where are you going, laddie?" I said, "Fort George." He went, "There you are, there." And I'm looking across the Moray Firth, and it's Alcatraz. Oh, but another shot to the old pump. I thought, what's done there? Honestly, it was jutted out. Well, three sides of the Moray Firth, it juts out, you know, and it is an old Scottish fort. Gets to Inverness.
Were there any other lads on the train? You know, because...
Not coming from London. No.